I wanted to talk some more about motivation for doing retreat, because that's the key thing, you know, is your motivation. It's not, you know, how well you visualize and how many mantra you say. It's what your motivation for doing it is. Because whatever our motivation is, you know, if we create merit, that and however, whatever we dedicate it for, that's how it's going to ripen. So if we start out like, I'm doing retreat because I just need some time to relax, and, you know, maybe I'll have some WAMO, KAZAMO experiences. I can tell my friends about them and how wonderful retreat is and meditation is, and how I'm really on the way to becoming, you know, very highly realized, because, you know, there was Manjushri and Yamantaka lining up to see me, lining up for me to have a vision of them, you know. Yeah, so for meditating with the thought of the happiness of this life, for status, prestige, for making a name, for having a good story to tell of all of our friends, then we might as well, you know, be doing anything else out in the world, because that's basically the motivation that most people operate on, is, you know, how can I have my own happiness now and be rich and famous and loved and everything else, yeah? So there's no real reason to practice Dharma for that. You know, there's lots of ways to have good stories to tell your friends about how fantastic you are without having to sit in pretzel position for 4 or 5 times a day. Yeah. So, you know, we have to, and, you know, it sounds funny when I talk like this, but you watch. There's so much thought about the happiness of this life that creeps into our motivation. Okay, so the first level of actual Dharma motivation is when we're motivated seeking to have a good rebirth. Okay, in other words, when our mind isn't involved with the 8 worldly concerns, when the happiness of only this life isn't involved, you know, there may be a little bit of happiness of this life, but our motivation is primarily a good rebirth, then that's the differentiating line between a worldly activity with the 8 worldly concerns and a Dharma activity that's looking beyond the happiness of this life. So at least to start out with that, yeah? Now some people say, but that's still selfish. It's my future rebirth, you know. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it is selfish. But some of these people then go on to say, well, it's so selfish, I just think it's ridiculous to think about future lives. Yeah. And then they go into this hazy state of, well, I'm not sure, you know, why I'm doing things then. I want to become a Buddha, but what does becoming a Buddha mean if there isn't rebirth? Yeah, how do you explain what Buddhahood is? So, you know, at least to have that motivation looking beyond this life. But then, you know, even we get a good rebirth, still we're stuck within cyclic existence, going up and down and up and down, and the merry-go-round, getting born again and again according to our karma. And so, you know, if we want to get out of that entire mess, then having the motivation to seek liberation, you know, to seek nirvana, to stop the rebirth that's caused by ignorance and polluted karma. So that's the next level of good motivation. Yeah, but even that one's not sufficient, because it's still about me, you know. So that person who, at the beginning, who questioned, you know, oh, well, future rebirth's still selfish. Yeah, they're onto something there. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you should throw out a rebirth, a motivation seeking a good rebirth, because that is the beginning. and then liberation is the next one. And then to go beyond liberation, you know, to really get rid of that whole selfish thing, thinking my liberation. Yeah, I want to get out of cyclic existence because I'm fed up. But, you know, everybody's on their own here, so good luck, everybody. Ciao. You know, to not have that kind of attitude that we're just dismissing the situation and the plights of other living beings because they've been kind to us and because they're exactly like us. Okay, and so therefore, having the motivation seeking full awakening so we can be of the greatest benefit to sentient beings. Yeah, so trying it to do your best each and every day of the retreat to generate that motivation. You know, so I really encourage people first thing in the morning to think, today I'm not going to harm anybody. Today I'm going to benefit others as much as I can. Yeah, even if it means, you know, coming to the meditation session on time. You know, and that's so problematic for me. But out of compassion, I'm going to make it to all the sessions on time so I don't disturb anybody else. You know, so I want to benefit others. And then I want to attain full awakening as my long-term goal so that I can be, you know, most capable of being of greatest benefit to living beings. And so, you know, cultivating that motivation when you first wake up every morning before each meditation session. And not just repeating the words, but, you know, thinking about the Lam Rim. You know, you can think about any kind of Lam Rim topic, and at the end, the conclusion always becomes, therefore, I have to become a Buddha to benefit sentient beings. Okay, so you can, doesn't matter which topic you start out with, you always lead yourself in cultivating your motivation to come to that same conclusion. Okay? And so if you motivate that way, and then at the end of the session you dedicate for that, then indeed your virtue, you know, will ripen in full awakening. Yeah. But if we motivate and dedicate for worldly activities, you know, fame and gain, we may or may not get them. Yeah. If we motivate for future life or for liberation and dedicate for that, yes, you know, that will come about. But still to really see that, you know, we may more strongly have a feeling for one of the lower motivations, but to always remind ourselves of, okay, that's okay, but it's insufficient. So even if bodhicitta feels a little bit fabricated, still you cultivate it, you fabricate it. Yeah, don't worry about fabricating something like bodhicitta. It's certainly better than not fabricating it and letting the mind of afflictions run wild. Okay? And the thing is, they have this expression, what is it? Fake it until you make it? Yeah? So it's the same idea, you know, you have fabricated bodhicitta, but by planting those seeds in your mind again and again and really following the reason why it's important to attain full awakening, then slowly our mind begins to change and those things make sense to us and we begin to feel them in our heart. So there's no other way besides doing these things repetitively. And really learning how to lead yourself through a motivation and lead yourself through a Lam Rim meditation. You know, at the beginning you may depend on a book or, you know, we have the outlines, we have the CDs of the things that I've, you know, of the meditations I've led. So you start with those, but really getting yourself to the point where you In your meditation, it's like you're leading yourself. You could be leading the whole room, except you're not talking. But, you know, if it's the same idea of you lead yourself and point out the important points and come to the proper conclusions, yeah, by guiding yourself. Okay? But like I was saying this morning, when you meditate on something, don't say, okay, I start here and I'm getting to that conclusion, so I don't need to do what's in between. I'll just go to the conclusion. Yeah, because then, you know, when you're doing analysis, when you're, whether you're thinking about the nature of reality, whether you're thinking about why it makes sense to benefit other sentient beings, no matter what you're thinking about, you have to use, you know, some kind of reasoning to really support that conclusion. Otherwise, it just becomes a conclusion of blind belief that doesn't really touch your heart. Okay? So tomorrow and the next day when we do the different rites to, that put you into retreat, you know, I won't lead a long motivation. That's what I've been doing yesterday and today at the BBC. So kind of counting on you to be continually working on your motivation as much as you can. Okay. And especially as we talked yesterday, seeing the rarity of this kind of experience and the opportunity you have to really progress on the path, then to really, you know, have that kind of joyous effort to go about your sessions and your study and so on. Okay, divine pride. I prefer the translation divine dignity. Yeah, or some people say divine identity. Already using the word pride can be confusing for us because there's an affliction called pride. So it's more, you feel the divine dignity of being the deity. The way that will works and the way it will help you with the afflictions is, okay, let's say you were sitting there saying the mantra, then you got distracted, you thought about something that happened, something someone said to you, they offended you, they insulted you, the look, they gave you the look, you know, or they gave you the sneer, or whatever it was, okay, and you're getting angry. Then the way divine dignity helps with that, is you say, okay, I'm Manjushri or I'm Yamantaka or whoever it is, and how is Manjushri gonna respond if somebody gives him the look or sneers at him or makes fun of him or insults him? Yeah? How if, you know, I'm sure that happens to Manjushri. Yeah, I mean, he's going to respond with compassion. Wow, it's real clear these people don't understand. And these, yeah? But if you're Manjushri, how are you going to be sitting there dumping on yourself? Oh, I'm so stupid. Manjushri doesn't think like that. Yeah, but you have divine dignity. I am Yamantaka. Yeah. Yamantaka doesn't worry about people doing this and saying that and all that kind of petty stuff. Because Yamantaka realizes that stuff is like there and gone in the next moment. It's impermanent. It's only the thought of some sentient being who has an afflicted mind anyway. Yamantaka doesn't take all this stuff personally. It's like, oh, somebody's insulting me. That means that he's suffering. The insult has nothing to do with me.
When the insult is coming from inside.
Yeah, that you say that to yourself. I'm Yamantaka. Yamantaka doesn't have bad self-esteem. Yamantaka doesn't sit there and go, oh, gee, my fangs aren't as sharp as some other people's fangs. You know. Yeah, my red-yellow hair, you know, is just, it's, you know, it's in curls and it needs to be straight red, you know, flaming hair. And my fire isn't hot enough. Oh, I'm a total disaster, you know. Yamantaka doesn't go into trashing himself. So if you have that divine dignity, when those old videos come up of self-criticism, you press the pause button. You press the stop button. Because all that stuff is rubbish. And your mantra doesn't adhere to rubbish. Yeah, it all gets burned up. His hair burns it up. His flames around him burn it up. Okay? Yeah? She's talking about in the Red Book for aspiring bodhicitta, there's certain actions you do and certain actions you avoid, and how helpful, really doing them are, continuously creating merit, and being truthful in your speech and really working to benefit sentient beings. And if you try and follow those guidelines, they really help your mind a lot. Yeah. So again, if you have bodhicitta, you can't get into all this self-deprecation, I'm worthless kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, do you think Chenrezig sits around and goes, I have 11 heads. Ugh, what happened to me? Everybody else has one head, I have 11. And they're all different colors, what do people think of me? Yeah, I don't think Chenrezig has that problem. Okay. Or Chenrezig sits there and thinks, I cherish myself more than others. I'm not going to give any of my heads away. They're all mine. Okay. So try and think like a deity thinks. That's what it means.